want to mention, you know, the Parsha Shlach. I think I mentioned this before. It could be it's on another tape, but anyways, the problems in Shlach are Shlach Lecho Anoshim. I mean, is he supposed to? Is he not supposed to? It's funny kind of a thing, kind of funny kind of a tzivu, you see. And then it seems Moshe Rabbeinu, what did they do wrong? Really, he's supposed to spy out the land. Yeshua ben Nun sent the Meraglim. What was wrong with wanting to send Meraglim? What was wrong with it? I mean, the Ramban learns the vera was that they didn't have any courage. But Rashi has a totally different shot. You see, according to Rashi, I just want to just briefly, so you have an idea, we learn the Parsha. But according to Rashi, the question that they asked was really okay. The only thing was that you see, interesting, according to Rashi, they knew there was a conspiracy going on, because Vayikra Moshe Leshe Ben Yeshua, right? And Kalev went and he was Mishtatach on Kivri Ois. I'm not going to go into detail, but just the basic idea, according to Rashi, was, you see, everything was Al Pir Hashem Yisu, Al Pir Hashem Yachanu. So everything was precisely determined by the Shechina. But the question, the motivation for the question was a bad one. That's how Rashi learns. The motivation was bad. That's why Rashi says that he says Lefisha Bo Yisrov Amul Nishcho Nashmal Faneinu Batikvan Elai Kulchem. See? Latikvan lai kulchem, so it says in Dvarim, Nishcha nashmal faneinu, v'yach brulan asa oretz, v'yeshiva asana davar. It's a derech Hashem nalaba, v'esa orim. You take a look at the psukim, it sounds like a legitimate request, the way Moshe Rabbeinu describes it. See? V'yitav b'ina adavar, v'akach mikam shnei masa anashim, ishechav l'shovet. So, v'yeshiva says, derech Hashem nalaba, v'esa orim Hashem nava olein. So what's wrong with it? Nothing wrong. Moshe doesn't criticize them for asking. But the pshat is the question, the overt question was a good one. But the motivation was a bad one. See, the motivation really was, that's why Rashi says like this. He says, Moshe nimla shushkina, Omar, ani amati lehem shi tova, shenema, el eschem me oni mitzrayim, chayehem, shani no sein lohem, mokom litos, bedivrei maraglim laman lo yirashua. What does Rashi mean? Rashi's not talking to the point. He says, "Ani amat lem shitova." So what? That's not what they didn't ask if it was good or not. It says, "Tikven like kulchem nishlcha nashu v'nevi yachbro lanas oritz." Another question: whether it's good or not. But the answer is that's really why they were asking. So they really wanted to. They really didn't believe it was good. So overtly, they said, in other words, it was in the guise of a legitimate request. But really underneath, they didn't believe it was good, and they really wanted a Meraglim to come back and tell them whether it was good or not. You see? And that's why, if you take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu, knew this. That's why he said, Koyo Shiho Metzas Meraglim. He knew that this question, that's why it says, that's how Rashi learned Shlach Lecho Anashim. What's Pshat Shlach Lecho Anashim? It means like this. It means, Ani Eini Mitzavolach, in Titzah Shlach. What kind of thing in Titzah Shlach? Milius. God told Moshe that here you have a problem with the people. You have a problem with the people. The request is a legitimate one, but you know very well why they're asking. They really don't trust me. So therefore, he says, you're the leader. You have to determine what the right thing to do is. That's it. I can't be mitzvah you. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be mitzvah to do something which is not based on 100%. If the request is no good, nimlach b'shchina, But the motivation is impure, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu can't respond. He can't give him any tzivui. Then it's Moshe. Then Moshe as a leader has the responsibility. That's what he says. It's your problem. But if you take a look at the, you see, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu knew it, because you see what he says. He says, what? If the people asked legitimately, it would be a Pir Hashem, Yisrael Pir Hashem Yachna, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu give the tzivui. But this tzivui God couldn't give, because of the fact that the request was really was tarnished by an impure motivation. They really were suspicious, and they wanted the Meraglim to come back, and they wanted to, in the back of their minds, they wanted to find out, and if it's not exactly, they were going to undermine it. Okay? You see? So he says, so that was all that was a matter of spying out the land. That was a legitimate mission. That's a military reconnaissance. What is that? The spies don't come back with fruit? What kind of thing is this? So Moshe Rabbeinu knew very well that there was an underlying motivation and there was a legitimate request. So his solution was to he'll handle both. Let them do both, you see? And bring back the pre-arets, and that'll get rid of the underlying doubts that they have, the fear, the underlying doubts. The only reason, so why didn't it work? It was a logical thing. The only reason why it didn't work was because it was really based upon a deeper imperfection. And Yudalad Lama Gimel, Arboim Shana, Lo Meisecho Man Pachas Ben Shishim. So Rashi says, nobody died less than 60. Lekach Nigzar Arboim, Kadesh Yu Osum Shal B'nei Esrim Agim L'chlal Shishim. So the 20-year-olds should reach 60. He says, and Shana Rishon Ois B'chlal, counting the first year, even though that's a year before, how could you count that year? That's Rashi says. So it means to say, shall ego v'shel tona. So Rashi learns that beneath the request was a deeper chait. It was a chait of avodah zarah. So he says also, it's a nitna rosh pasuk. It's pasuk dalid. Vayom rishalachav nitna rosh nashuv mitzrayma. So Rashi says, he says, Rabbeinu pirshu lashon avodas kechavim. It means to say that they had inner resistances to establishing the whole system of yadus, because that would mean permanent establishment of the system. They had inner resistances because of the fact that that system would mean a total denial of any kind of primitive emotions that they weren't ready to give up. So it was a resistance because of that. That's why Chazal said if Moshe Rabbeinu would have entered Israel, That would be the Mashiach. Why? Because that means that then it would have been on such a high level, they'd be totally on a level of Chachma, and no nation could stand up to them. They could never have a downfall. And it's based on what the shiur I gave one time before, that people don't understand why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him all the Nisim and Mitzrayim, so why did he refuse to go? Why did he refuse? God's going to help you. What are you worried about? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes a person's free will. And it was his personal responsibility to get Klal Yisrael to change. What happened with Paro is one thing. That was Nisim, God guaranteed him Nisim. But he didn't guarantee him he could win over the people. That's why he said, Loish Dvar Menach, I can't win them over. But he assumed the personal responsibility there. Not a magical thing. That was not Nais. That was Derech HaTeva. He had to win over these people. That was the responsibility he had. The responsibility, he didn't want to take it. He wanted some responsibility. So I can't. Can't do it. That was the complaint. Maybe it was Basil Paro. Because the thing is that they got angry at him. They got more angry at him, Klal Yisrael. So he said, that's what I said. I can't do this. And it's failing. Yeah. Over here, this was Kadosh Baruch Hu simply threw it back on him. It's his responsibility. His responsibility. He sent in the Nesiim because he felt in the Nesiim are the leaders. He wins them over, then they'll win the people over. They'll win the people over. Yeah. That's why Yeshua ben Nun didn't send the same. He sent Meraglim. Okay. What I want to discuss today is ties in a little bit with the main thing, what I wanted to explain was the in Bamidbar and Nasa are two parshas which usually, I mean, you just go through them, and it doesn't seem to be much there. Okay. Yeah. So. Right. So the first thing is the Vayidabar Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai bo'el moed becha l'chodesh hasheni. Right. Bashan hasheni l'tzeisam eretz Yisrael lema. So when was it? So it was in Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Right? Okay. And he gave him a mitzvah of counting. Counting, right? Yeah. Now, the next thing you see is, you take a look at Naso. In Naso, it says that, Vayhi biyom kalos Moshe. Naso is Naso Zion. Vayhi biyom kalos Moshe lahokim es ha-mishkan. Alright? Alright. So then, and then you have the, they brought the agalos and the nedavos, and then they makrev v'yomrishnes kabbonon, nachshaminah, etc. All the ones who brought the kabbonos. So the question, of course, is that this is out of order. Of course, here was Biyom Kalos Moshe Lohakim Asam Mishkan, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And before, in the beginning of a Midi, you're talking about Rosh Chodesh Iyar. This should have been before, really. Okay? That's Biyom Hashmini. So the Sipra Maizah, even Ramban always tries to put everything in order. Over here, you can't put it in order. Okay? So the Ramban says, V'nichva v'azosa parsha b'kan b'avur ki b'yom arishu shal miluim. That's b'yom hashmini. Kora al Moshe me'ol moed. V'edab Hashem elov kol ha'parsha shemetchila seif v'yikra ad v'yihi b'yom hashmini. Sheim b'dini ha'kabonos. B'yom hashmini nidbalo kol ha'parsha shemetchila zos ha'chaya. Asher toklu sheim b'dini isa v'heter. V'yesh b'chulon inyin ha'kabonos. ונמשכו עניינם עד המקום הזה בסדר כאשר פירשתי כשהשלם המצווה עושה שנצטב המושל להם על ישראל ובחולון דיני עבוד וקבונס משמר עשה המועד ועבוד עושה חוזר אחרי חיים בכאן להגיד נדווס הנשיאים בקרבונם שהיו מהיום השמיני. What does Ramban say? What do you mean? It's still out of order. What's his answer? You know what I mean? It's not an answer. You're just saying, yeah, but why is it still out of order? That should have been before. Okay. So then Ramban means like this, that the, you take a look. Well, of course, you understand minyan, I mentioned once before. Minyan really means designation. That's what minyan is. That's what Rashi is. Mitochi basan afan of mono osam kol shah. Kshiyotsum in Mitzrayim, mono. What do you mean counting? Counting means designation. Because you see, that's why Shevet Levi was counted separately. Separate designation. That's why it says you shouldn't count. Achas mate Levi lo sifko, v'sorosham lo sisa b'self b'nei Yisrael. Why can't you count them together? The reason is because counting is designation. So designation when they left Mitzrayim, when after the Egel, Kishnaflu Be'egel needed a redesignation, and over here, Kishabol HaShashkin Aso, Aleihem Monam. Be'echod B'nis Nukam Mishkan, Be'echod B'yam Monam. Counting is designation. That's what counting is, basically. Okay? Yeah. But you see...
What?
That's correct. Minyan could be from the same root. So, yeah. If you take a look at in Bamidbar, so you see that it was very important that they travel in this manner. The question is, why is it so important they travel in this manner? They're on the way to Eretz Yisrael. It's not going to be too long when they get there. Right? So why do you have to have to set up the camps? They have to bedafka travel in this way. It's only a temporary thing. It's only Lashaw. It's not Lederis. No, look like that. So why was it necessary? Why was it necessary at that point? Wait till they get there. So a few more days. The answer is like this. The answer is, if they would wait till they get to Eretz Yisrael, the implication would mean that at that moment, they're not a mamlechas kohen or a gai kadosh. The whole purpose of Kabbalah Satara was to create an entity of Klal Yisrael. And the entity of Klal Yisrael was created the moment that Kabbalah Satara, even before they reached Eretz Yisrael. The moment you have Kabbalah Satara, that's the end. If you would say that they don't become an entity till they reach Eretz Yisrael, that would imply that Eretz Yisrael plays a role like a nationalistic type of phenomena. And we don't have that such a thing. Eretz Yisrael is a completion of the halachic system. Because it's a halachic land. It's the only halachic land in the world. But it's not because of the homeland. It's the promised land. That's a nationalistic Goyish idea. So if they would wait till they get there, so that would be the implication. Like every other nation, they have their homeland. Actually, the Gemara Chazal say that Soser and Bona you learn from here. Unless they're Soser and Mishkan, they built the Mishkan. But the Gemara says Soser and Bona always has to be in the same place. has to be Almanas Livnos Bim Koma. But over here it's always Almanas Livnos Shalom Bim Koma, because they moved. What does Gemara say? Kivin Nechsiv Apir Hashem Yisrael Apir Hashem Yachanu Kibim Koma Dami. That's what Gemara says. What does it mean? It means to say that was the whole purpose of the Machanos. The Machanos meant that in one sense there's nowhere to go. We're here. Apir Hashem Yisrael Apir Hashem Yachanu. We're not making any headway. No progress. Same place, it's been Koma. Metaphysically, it's been Koma. We're only lacking a geographical location. We're lacking something geographically. But in terms of the entity of Klal Yisrael, we're here already. You see, it wasn't organized logistically, because you see, they always moved from the east. Yeah, let's say they're going west. Doesn't matter. You have to move the same way. Okay? And how did they move? They moved right. They moved, that's why, with the Chatzetzers. Chatzetzers. Why the Chatzetzers? It was Rashi says they moved three things: Alpi Kadosh Baruch Hu, Alpi Moshe, Alpi Chatzetzers. So I explained last year what the Chatzetzers, the concept of what the Kol Shofar. That's the Kol Shofar. Kol Shofar is a unique Kol, and it's not a halachically mechanical sound. It's a sound that evokes a certain concept. The concept is tied to the halacha. The has to be a cry. Has to be a cry of Bechi. So I mentioned, I said that's the philosophical cry that is a person lives in Om Sheni Shalach. So the whole thing was a philosophical kind of a system, where it means that metaphysically it was Al Pir Hashem Yisrael Pir Hashem Yachanu. They're here already. Their relationship to God is in existence already. And when they moved from place to place, they didn't get anywhere. In terms of the metaphysical, in other words, in terms of the metaphysical destiny, it's the same place. But no change. There's no change. The only thing is that they still need to acquire part of the halachic system. The halachic land still has to be acquired. But it's not that the land plays a role in making the mamlachas kind of a guy kadosh. It's a halachic feature, a halachic component, which is lacking. But in terms of the gavra of Klal Yisrael, the kedusha of Klal Yisrael, that was immediate as soon as there was Sinai. If it wouldn't be this way, you'd think that it's not immediate. It doesn't take place till the end of Eretz Yisrael. That's wrong. That would imply that the nationalistic kind of idea that this land is we didn't get to the homeland yet. We're not a nation yet. It's a nation which is in existence without a homeland, a different kind. Actually, every nation is really based on a land. Yeah, geographic location. Can't be a nation without land. Klal Yisrael is a nation without the land. It's intrinsic. Mamlachas kind of Gai Kaddish. It is a metaphysical phenomenon. It doesn't need a land, you see. Of course, the land enhances it. It completes the whole halachic system. But as a nation, the nation is immediate. That's what really the whole idea of the Machanos was. That's why it had to be right away. And you see that really this was the Biyom Kalos Moshe Lahakamas and Mishkan. The Mishkan was really the full realization of the entity of Mamlachas Kohen of Gai Kadosh. That's what Rashi says. Vayibiyom Kalos Moshe Lahakamas Mishkan. What did Rashi say? It was like Kekalos Shenichnas Lachupa. Rashi says. That's what it means. It means that was the climax of the entity of the nation. Kalos Ksiv. Yom Hakamas Mishkan Hoy Yisrael Kekalos Nechnesas Lachupa. Okay. And really, if you look back, how did it work? They went out of Mitzrayim and Nisan. Then what happened? Kabbal Satar and Shavuos, right? And then the first thing, then there was the Chet Egel in between. But if it wasn't for the Chet Egel, when did they receive the mitzvah of the Siri Mishkan? Yom Kippur, right? After Yom Kippur, after they came down. So that was the first thing. The first thing was the Kamas HaMishkan. It would have been much earlier if it wouldn't have been for Chet Egel. So the Kamas HaMishkan took 6 months till Nisan. To Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then you had then what? Now the question is, and then Iyar Rosh Chodesh Iyar was setting up of the Machanos. So it's an interesting thing. So there's a gap there between Nisan, 1 month, but from Nisan to Iyar, you have a gap before the setting up of the Mishkan. That's an interesting thing. Before the setting up of the Machanos, rather, the Mishkan is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then you have 1 month gap before they set up the Machanos. What is that gap? What? Now, what is that gap? Okay? So the gap is really, if you take a look, the gap is Sefer Vayikra. Okay? The gap is really Sefer Vayikra. The whole Sefer Vayikra. From Shmini on. And before Shmini, you have the Karbonis. That was when they said it, when they from the Meluim, Shiva Simei Meluim. So the last days of Adar. Right? Now, what is... Yeah, so from Shmini on, you have the gap. Okay. From Shmini on, you have the gap. Now, Vayikra, you have to have, of course, until Shmini, Kabanis, because you can't have a Kamas Mishra, not Kabanis, right? What do you have after Shmini? After Shmini, it's interesting. After Shmini, what do you have there? After Shmini, you have the what? First, you have the Maicholas Asaros, right? Zosachaya Shara Tochlu, Maicholas Asaros. Then what do you have? Then you have Tazria Metzora, correct? Tazria Metzora. Then you have Isuri Arayis. And then you have what? And then you have, after Isuri Arayis, you have Kedoshim. After Isuri Arayis, Kedoshim to you, which is really a continuation of, that's really the Kedoshim to you is like, is all the ethical, the height of the ethical perfection. That's Kedoshim to you. And it's tied to Arayis, Purushim and Arayis. And then after that, you have what? You have the Moadim, right? Moadim. And then you have what? Then you have Shemitah. That's basically it, right? Now, if you take a look, you see that there's a reason for these mitzvahs. Very simple. What is the reason for these mitzvahs? Because, see, the establishing of the machanos couldn't take place until you have an entity of... the establishing of the machanos, like we're saying now, is really the entity of Klal Yisrael. Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. You really can't have that until you have certain categories of mitzvahs. For instance, you have Sefer Kedusha. You must have Maicholas Asuros, control of the appetitive, and you must have the Arayis. That's Sefer Kedusha, right? That's Sefer Kedusha. Besides that, what do you have? The Moadim, and then you have Shemitah. Okay. It's an interesting thing. Shemitah, of course. Shemitah is really, what is Shemitah? Shemitah is very simple. Shemitah is the human nature, really. The Kedusha is two parts. One part is the control over the instinctual. That's my cholosaurus, and that's also the Arayis. But then there's another part, which is the control over human greed. Greed is considered is essentially the source of evil motivation. That's what the Leman Nechda Me Oshik Yadenu, like we say in Nila. You see, Oshik Yadenu means what a person wants to grab, the self-centered, total self-centeredness. That's the greed. That's really Shemitah. Shemitah is a removal of the greed. That's Shemitah. Shav Soras Shavas Lad Hashem. That even the land isn't yours. Ownership of the land is not yours. And Shemitah and Yevles. So really, it's actually two components. Two components. The Isuri Arayis and Machalas Asarais, which is the Kedusha, control the instinctual. And then control, that's the appetitive instinctual, but there's another kind of instinctual, the egoistic instinctual. That's the greed. And that's really Shemitah. That fits in very nicely. In between, you have what? You have the Moadim. You have the Moadim. That's what you're going to say, like that. The Moadim. What is the Moadim? Moadim is safe in Sefer Yikra. Why is Moadim safe for Yikra? Sefer Yikra is really Taras Kahanim. Why is Moadim there? See, it's interesting when you see the way the Torah... where the Torah presents the Moadim. The Moadim is the Moadim in Emor. Okay? So, there's one clue here that, and something you say every Friday night, but there's one clue here that shows you the uniqueness of the Hashkofa of Yadus in the Moadim. There's one clue.
What's the clue?
It's in Perek Chav Gimel, in Vayikra. Adam Hashem HaShalema. Dabar Rabbi Yisrael Matlein, Moadei Hashem, Asher Tikro Osam Mekroi Kodesh, Elehei Moadei. And then you have an inexplicable pasuk. Sheishis Yomim Te'osa Malocha Vayom Ashvi Shabbos Shabbosom Mekroi Kodesh Kol Malocha Losasu Shabbos HaShem HaChamash Vesehem. What is this doing here? Shabbos is not Sheikhs. Okay. Then Elehei Moadei Hashem Mekroi Kodesh. Bachodesh Harishim, Vashem HaChodesh, Pesel Hashem. You understand it? But what is Shabbos doing here? What is Shabbos doing here? That's a big problem. What is Shabbos doing here? So, of course, from a halachic standpoint, what it means is that everything is based on the Moadim, really, is a separate thing. But it's based on Malach Shabbos, the same source of Malach. But still, it doesn't satisfy you. Why does the Torah put in it? You know, the Torah speaks in two frameworks. The Torah speaks in the framework of halacha, but it also speaks in the framework of philosophy. The halacha usually is hidden more. Philosophy is more the overt. Okay? More the overt. The halacha is Tosh Vapah. But the overt message of the Torah is really something which hits more the philosophical. Sounds like this. You see, what is the idea of Klal Yisrael revolves around two concepts. It's two concepts. That's why, and because the two concepts evoke different kind of states in a human being. Each one evokes a different kind of a state. And Yadis demands that a person combines both. An almost impossible task. But the two components are like this. See, what is Mo'adim really? Mo'adim, what does Mo'ad mean? Mo'ad means that it's a specific time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to man. It means God relates to man. That's Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah, and Sukkos. It means God is relating to man. That's what Moed is. That's what Moed is. As Moed is Lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem. Special relationship between you and God. Shabbos is totally different. Shabbos is the objective recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Borei Olam. Nothing to do with you personally. Zero to do with you personally. Nothing to do with you personally. It's simply the recognition, not Korah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. It's a recognition of a truism, a fact that behind this universe there is a being that ordered, created, controls everything that exists. Okay? That's the concept of Shabbos. Shabbos has nothing to do with you personally. It has to do with the recognition, Hakara, and a true recognition of a certain reality insofar as the universe is concerned. Now, things like this. That in the whole purpose of Torah is to take a person's religious emotions and to direct them to reality. That's the idea of Kabbanis. That's Kabbanis. And the religious emotion of man is very happy with Moadim. Moadim, special appointed time between God and me. That's what it means, appointed time, Moed. Okay? That's a very nice idea. But that idea is always, in human nature, it borders, there's a danger with that idea because it borders on the egocentric. See? And Lahavdil, the Umos Ha'olam, when they follow through with their religious instincts, they always work along those lines. Personal. Say personal. Personal God. Because it's satisfying to a human being. Personal God, that's what he wants. What does he want? He wants someone to take care of him personally and make sure everything in his life goes exactly the way he wants it. That's instinctual man. Instinctual man recognizes that he can't control everything, so he needs someone to help him control everything in order that everything goes his way. See? So, Mo'adim, if it would be Mo'adim alone, without Shabbos, then man would fall into that trap. But that's why the Torah says, on the contrary, first is Shabbos. First and foremost is Shabbos. Eila moader matalem moader Hashem mashatikrosam mikroy kodesh eila hei moadoi sheishes yomim teosam olach aviyam ashi Shabbos shabbosam mikroy kodesh. Shabbos is the first thing. Without Shabbos, Moadim would be distorted. Be a distortion. Man would fall into a distortion. Like the man-made religions of the world. You see, you fall into a trap. That's why you say in Kiddush every Friday night. What do you say? Kiyom zet tchilo lemikrai kodesh. What does it mean? It's an interesting thing. What does it mean, tchilo lemikrai kodesh? What does it mean? What do you mean? It has nothing to do with mikrai kodesh. It's a different thing. Shabbos and Yantav are two things. You can't combine Shabbos and Yantav. There's no combination between the two. They're two separate, different types of kedushas. Moadim, man creates moadim. Sanhedrin creates moadim. Even if it's a mistake, that's the moed. Shabbos breishes, you can't budge. It's firm, it's established, you can't do anything. You have nothing to do with establishing the kedusha of Shabbos breishes. Two different things in halacha, you can't combine Shabbos and Yantav. Two different things, two different types of kedushas. But why is it? Why do we say tchilu mikrai kodesh? It's an astonishing statement that you make in Kiddush. What is it? What's the pshat? The pshat is it's tchila, it's first. That's the first premise. It's before mikrai kodesh. If you don't have the premise of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in objective terms as the Borei Olam, and why do we? That's why all these people that complain about the Holocaust and the different tragedies. I'm not passing judgment on them. I'm just saying objectively, the complaint lacks one thing. What does it lack? Shabbos. Recognition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. You can't in your mind bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into existence or put him out of existence because things aren't going the way you want or things are going the way you want. There's nothing. His existence is imminent. That's Shabbos. That's it. It's a reality. That's his existence. You have kashas, you have this. That's reality. So Shabbos is really a recognition of the Borei Olam without anything personal to you. There's no shachas to you. It's a reality. It's Yesod Yesodos. What does Rambam say? Yesod Yesodos. The Vamana Chachmos. Sheyesham Eloka. Leida Sheyesham Eloka Matsui. That's it. There's nothing to do with you. There's nothing to do with personally. That idea, that objective idea, that's Shabbos. That's Shabbos. Forget about yourself. There's no shaykhus to you. But this is the reality. See? But Yadus also holds that it is true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does relate specially to Klal Yisrael. And that's the Yisod, B'das. The person just holds from Shabbos, doesn't know if Yantav, he's missing a tremendous amount of dust. What is the whole Mishkan? Vasali Migdash v'shachanti b'socham. So the Migdash portrays a very special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Ol Moed. It means, Moed means appointment. An appointed is an appointment. There's a relationship, a meeting between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That concept is correct. But that concept would be distorted if it wasn't for the Tchilo L'Mikrai Kodesh. You must have first. You must have Shabbos. You must have Shabbos. It's an interesting thing how in Kiddush you mention the fact. It's interesting. Why do you mention Mikrai Kodesh in Kiddush, not Mikrai Kodesh? Because you're positing, what you're showing is that Shabbos, not just a matter of Kiddush Yom Shabbos, but the whole concept of Mo'adim would be impossible without Shabbos. If you didn't have Shabbos, you wouldn't have Mo'adim. It's Tchila. It's first. First you have to have this premise. You don't have this premise, you're not ready for Mo'adim. So really, what you're saying in Kiddush Yom is that Shabbos, the whole Yisod of Torah, Mo'adim, the relationship between God and man is all only possible because of the Kiddush Shabbos. You say. You can't recognize the Kiddush Baruch Hu and abstract as the reality of all realities without a relationship to you, then Mo'adim would be total distortion. That's why you have the pasuk. So that's why you have Mo'adim. That's why you have Mo'adim. Mo'adim is the relationship, the essence, the whole concept of the machanos. What is the essence of the machanos? Is vasli mikdash shishakanti b'socham. It means the awareness of the Ashura Shechina, the special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Of course, based on the true idea, based on the true concept, not on a childish concept, based on a true idea. So that's what you had in the Midbar. You can't have that concept without having those elements. What are the elements? The elements are Kedusha, control of the instinctual, repetitive instinctual, control of the egoistic instinctual, and the true recognition of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, that's in Mo'adim. So that was necessary. That was Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan was all those, all those halachas. Then once you had that, then you were able to set up the machanos. Then setting up the machanos made sense. It's interesting though. But before they did it, there was one more thing. There's one more thing that was done. What was it? The second half of the Kabbalah of Sinai. First half Kabbalah of Sinai was Mamlachas Kohanim Gai Kadosh, but then the Kabbalah of Ba'ala B'Shvua. Ba'ala. That's the fact that that if they deviate, then they're subject to Onash. That was the last thing. After the system was after all the elements of the mitzvahs were given, then they had to make that Kabbalah, and then they were ready for setting up the machanos. That's where Bamidbar comes in. That's right. Rosh Chodesh here. That's where Bamidbar comes in. So it's a definite. I just want to point out it's a definite order here. It's an important idea. That the parsha, you know, just read the parsha. Bechal Chodesh Sheni is important because it means to say that they weren't capable of setting it up. Why didn't they set up right away? So you have Mishkan right away. Set up the machanos. Setting up the machanos required certain recognitions that were given through the mitzvahs in Sefer Vayikra. Okay, through those elements in Sefer Vayikra. Yes, the Metzora definitely. Metzora is Lashon Hara. As a matter of fact, you see, right as soon as they set up the first thing that the Torah says after they set up the machanos is what? Yishachu an machaneh kol tzuro v'chol zov v'chol tamal nafesh. Okay, what? Yeah, the lashon hara is the lashon hara is the expression of the instinctual in man is lashon hara. Okay. Now once the parsha is given, I'll explain every detail. The things that are belonging there will also be drawn in. Okay. It's like the Rambam says in the Mara. You don't when you're looking for a philosophical explanation, you have to look for the major headings. Yeah. That explains in Nusso. I put it on the That explains in Nusso why it says like this. Why you have the parsha again of the Asham Gzelos. The Asham Gzelos. So the question is for Rashi, because the two things that were left out from Sefer from Parshas Vayikra. Hashem Gzelos. Why leave out those two things? Why didn't put it there in before? After all, partial love again. But I told you that one of these sodas of Torah is that the Musar alone is no good. Musar has to be accompanied by Halacha. The person doesn't daven well, he has to learn brachas. The person doesn't make a bracha properly, Yelech Etzel Chacham V'Yalam Deno Brachas. That's what the Gemara says. Limud is the biggest Musar. So you see again, it's interesting, that right after the machnas was set up, so they required Musar with regard to Gezel, so that parsha wasn't completed before, in order that they should learn that parsha again. Gezel is, of course, what? Gezel is the man's greed, the instinctual egocentricity to grab for himself, Oshik Yedenu, and then you have Densota. So does Arias. So you have those. You have the instinctual of the Arias, and the so. But it was. You see, what I want to say is that that's the Yisod in Torah. That Torah gives Musa through Limud. Musa through Limud. Ladas. What does the Shlomo say? Ladas Chachma Musa. There's no such as Musa. Has to be with Limud. So that's why the Torah places the parsha in a specific spot. Right after that, now we have to deal with parsha. It has to do. It doesn't be directly, but it has to do. It has to do with Arias. Sota. That's the kolaroa sota b'kakula yazratzmoni ayin. That's why you have nazirus. What is nazirus? Nazirus is if a person can't control the instinct, so then there's the remedy, and the remedy is nazirus is a very delicate kind of matter. It's a very delicate thing. It's a milen a chasaran. That's an amazing. If you want to see the chachma satara, just on the surface, just simply, it's the parsha of Naziris. Parsha of Naziris. Every religious emotion would tell a person that a person should be a nazir all their life. That's the biggest thing. Accept more. Be more from. But the Torah is very careful. On the contrary, He's chayav chatas. He's chayav chatas. Yet in certain situations he needs a remedy, but it has to be done very carefully with the realization that it's a remedy, but that there's a danger there of the person going off into some kind of a religious emotional instinct and getting carried away from reality. He's thinking that he's something that he's not. It's a dangerous thing. So that's why you have the parsha of Nozir is constructed very carefully. Yes. Then what do you have after that? Okay, but then what do you have after that? You have Birchas Kohanim. What's Birchas Kohanim? Birchas Kohanim means in Birchas Kohanim, what's amazing about Birchas Kohanim is it's such a funny kind of bracha. Why? Because what does it say? Everybody is kainam adochin. What is what? Yeah. So of course, people would be happy if they look into Rashi. If orecho b'mamin, right? V'yishm orecho manamazikin. So it means that then you have that's the first one. Orecho. So orecho Hashem yishrecho. But you see, it's in a vague way. It's in a vague way. The bracha is expressed in a vague way. Why is it expressed in a vague way? Yo'er ad Hashem ponev elecha l'chanecha. Yisro ad Hashem ponev elecha. What does this mean? This is very vague. It's metaphorical. Like a metaphorical, what does it mean? What is the underlying idea in the Birchas Kohanim? The underlying idea in Birchas Kohanim is that whether a person's fortunate or not depends upon one thing, how close he is to God. That's what it means. You're at a shampoo of Allah. Certain relationship. Ye saw the shampoo of Allah. Closeness to God is really what the bracha is. Not anything specific. Person's instincts are looking for some specific kind of thing. Money, he wants fame, he wants health, he wants enjoyments, you see, pleasures. That's where the instinctual mind goes. But the metaphysical reality is that there's only one thing which makes a person fortunate or unfortunate, and that is where does he stand in relationship to the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How much of his nature is in tune with that reality? And how much is in the world of the instincts away from that reality? That's why it says, Yor Ad Hashem Ponav. The whole thing is vague. It's vague for a reason. The vagueness is that a person should not be overcome by the specific expressions of the bracha. So it's hidden. Yivarecha Ad Hashem B'mamay. It's an interesting bracha, though. So it means to say that's why that's over here. Why is that over here? Because that's the culmination of everything. Culmination of everything is the Birchas Kohanim. That's the culmination of those from beginning of Vayikra straight through. That's the culmination with the Mishkan, with the Machanos, and everything is Yivarecha Ad Hashem is the Birchas Kohanim. Okay, what is Birchas Kohanim? All right, so Yivarecha Ad Hashem Yishmecha is what is Momon. Yo'er Ad Hashem Ponav Elecha V'Chunecha. What does it mean? Yo'er Ad Hashem Ponav Elecha. What does it mean? What does it mean? How? Where do you have? What does it mean? How? Sim Shalom Tov Rocha. Barchenu V'Nklon Ki Echad. Ba'or Ponecha. Right? Why? Ki Ba'or Ponecha Nasat Alon Ad Hashem Elokeinu Toras Chaim V'Avas Chesed. So it means to say Toras Chaim is Chachma. Avas Chesed is perfection. Chesed the Rambam says Chesed is the ultimate expression of perfection. A person can do Chesed to somebody else without any compensation. That's the ultimate expression and criterion of a perfected person. So that's why it says. So what is Ha'aras Panim? Ha'aras Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that God gives you He gives you the greatest gift, which is the proper ideas of life. Taras Kirovanacha Nasatlan Shamakina. Taras Chayim V'Avas Chesed. That's how Oras Panim. It means you're in a position where you relate to God in the way that He gives you this gift. You see? That is the highest bracha. That is the highest bracha. And it's not just it's as a klal, but as a yachid too. As a yachid too. What did the Yaakovina say? What does it mean? It means that Yaakovina looked back in his life and he could see all the events that took place, and everything that took place was really to guide him to a greater understanding, to greater chachma, to reach greater heights. Yashgacha. That's our Rasponim. That's our Rasponim. That's our Rasponim. Our Rasponim is for the Tzibur, but our Rasponim is in every Yachid's life. But a person has to look for the Rasponim. He has to see it. He has to seek it. He has to know how to seek it. But there is a Rasponim for a person that searches for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that learns that's committed to Torah. So that's the second bracha. What's the last one? Yisar Hashem Panav Elacha V'yasmucha Shalom. So Shalom is, what is Shalom? Shalom is Shalom is really Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means a harmony. Because it means like this. It means a person could learn Torah, and a person could be a big Baal Chesed, but he still could be fraught with internal conflict. Internal conflict is really the last. It's the last barrier that a person has to overcome. A person, if he zochet to overcome it, because it means that then there's a certain harmony of the soul. That type of existence, that type of experience, is the highest experience that man can have in this life. That's like in Pirkei Avos, where it says one of the times said when he came to Yerushalayim, he said all these people were created for me. Because he recognized that the nature of his existence is so different and so superior that's really what man was created for. And everybody else is unfortunately in a life of strife and conflict, inner conflict. So, but he didn't experience any of that. He was living, he knew that he's living a certain kind of a life that is the ultimate life for a human being. And this is what man was created for this kind of a life. Because if a person experiences that, it is so enjoyable that he knows that this is what man is created for. Every other creature exists, you see, in harmony, with an inner harmony, every other creature in the world, besides man. Man is composed, psychological man is always in conflict. That's why the attempts on the part of this society to cure man's ills through psychology is completely hopeless. Hopeless. Because psychology shows you, on the contrary, that man is in constant conflict. And there's no way for him to escape, even though he's healthy psychologically. It's impossible. It's logically impossible. The only way is through the proper metaphysical ideas. That's the only way. And an attachment of the soul to those. 30 years of the psychoanalysis, and the man is sicker than an average guy in the street. He's sick. Very sick person. Something wrong with the cure. Yeah. So that's the last aspect of the bracha of Shalom. It's an interesting thing. When you mispalel in reverse. First you mispalel atachon l'anadas, you mispalel for chachma, and the last thing you ask for is baruch aleinu. After baruch aleinu, then you start a different series already. After you call Yisrael. What's after t'kabba shofar. T'kabba shofar is ready for call Yisrael. But the personal requests end by baruch shemai zohar shalom. That's the last thing. Is financial. So why is it reversed in Birchas Kohanim? It's interesting. Birchas Kohanim is reversed. It's the first you start with the material, and then it concludes with the builds up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the answer? It's very simple. Because when you're requesting, you see, when you're requesting, so your personal desire should be first for Chachma. So the tefillah, the most important thing about tefillah really raises a person to a higher level. How does it raise a person to a higher level? A person's in a spiral. With Chachma, it raises them to a higher level. Because it shows them, it organizes the priorities the way they're supposed to be. So if a person's not thinking about Chachma first, but it's right there in the tefillah. If he thinks into what he's saying, he reflects about, that's right, that should be my first priority. So tefillah is the way a person should request. But in Birchas Kohanim, that is really where, that's the logical order. And the logical order is first you need a physical base, which is the mamon, the physical situation, because a person is, like we mentioned, anias is the worst thing. It's maveras adam me'al daito me'al daskano. It destroys a person. It destroys them personally and destroys them metaphysically. So the first thing he needs is the physical situation. Then the aras ponim. And then it builds up to shalom, because that's the logical order. So when you're receiving a bracha, the bracha is organized in a little... in the logical order, you see. But when you're requesting, it's supposed to demonstrate what the person desires. So it has to be the priority. It has to be chachma, you see. Okay. Oh, the original question. That's why it says, then after it says, Vayehi biyom kalos Moshe lahakam es ha-mishkan. So after you have the whole, in other words, the Torah wanted to tell you about the fact that they were, that these Nesiim were Menadev. It's important to know. It's important to know. But it's a different kind of importance than the setting up of the system. So the Torah, if the Torah would have had this, Vayehi biyom kalos Moshe lahakam es ha-mishkan, would tell you about the Nedivim, the physical construction of the Mishkan would be highlighted. You understand? That would be, see, Hakamas a Mishkan is not because we want to have a Mishkan, like every Stam ignoramus thinks. You understand what I mean? It's ideas, it's concept, it's philosophical perfection. Most people would be attracted to the Mishkan. Like you have in Yerushalayim, you have the temple, I forget what they call it. But you go in, you can see the Mishkan. You know Yerushalayim.
Temple Institute.
Temple Institute, right. Everybody's track, Temple Institute. And they have the red heifer. Yeah, they're breeding red heifers in Oklahoma somewhere. I don't know. But anyways, people are attracted to this. Oh, we'll set up the tabernacle. The tabernacle will set up the Migdash. They're attracted to the superficiality. The Torah doesn't want a person. Torah is aware of that. Torah doesn't want a person to be attracted to that. So that's why exactly the opposite. If the Torah would have put Vayehi biyom kalos Moshe lahakam es ha-mishkan biyom ha-shmini, what would be the center? Oh, the setting up the Mishkan and then the seeing again. Oh, it's very nice and the Chanukah Shem Mizbeach and the whole thing. No, the Torah leaves that fact can be recorded later. You record that fact later. The important thing is the concepts of building Kedushas Klal Yisrael. That's the important thing. And that goes straight through Chodesh Nisan, through Sefer Vayikra, and then the minui through minion of the Klal Yisrael, the Machanos, the Hashras Shechina, you see, Hashras Shechina, the recognition of the link, the specific link between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Borei Olam, and us, you see, and the perfection of man, the ideas of perfection, removal from Gezel Ager, Arias, and it builds up to reaches its height in Birchas Kahanim. Birchas is a relationship to God and man, human beings' perfection, his capacity for perfection. Then we can go back and talk about the fact that was omitted before. That's what the Ramban means. I believe that's what the Ramban means. That's what you see. When you take a look at Ramban, he doesn't look like he answers his question. And he says, yeah, and then if it was good. That's what he means. He means important, the emphasis in the Torah is on the system of perfection. That's where the emphasis is. Not on the facts of how the Hakamas of Mishkan took place. Yeah, it's important to know that they were Menadev and see him what they did. It's important. But that fact can wait till later. You can go back to that later. The importance, the emphasis has to be on what is Mishkan, how it functions, what is the Kedusha of Machane Yisrael. You see, Adas Yisrael. What's the Kedusha of Adas Yisrael? What constitutes that Kedusha? The specific halachas that they learned in Chodesh Nisan before they were able to set up the Machanes. That's what's important. Then we'll go back to the fact that the Nesiim were Menadev, you see. You see, the question is like his question is always, you see, I didn't address that question. But apparently in the Torah is like this, that there has to be there's two kinds of Musa. There's the Musa through limud. The first limud had to be the system objectively before you can establish the machanais, and once the machanais is established, then again, a parshan Gezel, parshan Arias. You see how to perfect oneself. It's again. In other words, there are two times that the limud was necessary. Once in all the factors, but then again after the machna is established, reshalchum in a machna kotzura, now to maintain the machna. There's that with those ideas that are necessary to establish the machna, and then there's the limud that's necessary once you have the machna, that a person should realize for the maintenance of the machna. Well, again, it's repeated again through those other parshias. That's why, in other words, that's why you have to have. That's why in those things were left for later. Gezel Ager after the Shalchum in the Machane. I mean, once the Machane is established, you see Gezel Ager. Really, how do you know Gezel Ager is there for greed? I mentioned right because it says V'chol Truma. In the same right, hey, take a look at the parsha of Gezel Ager. the parsha of Gezla Ger, so it says in the end of the parsha, it brings down the something which has no sheiches. V'chol tshuma l'chol kachem ne'esol she'ekriu l'kain lo yiyya. V'ishas kadoshav lo yiyu. Ish hashitim l'kain lo yiyya. Right? So what does Rashi say? What does it, you don't understand what it means. What does it mean? Lo yiyya. Lo, who? What? Where? What's the problem? Give tshuma. But it's taught, it says, Rashi says, that the ishas kadoshav lo yiyu, so first of all, it's telling you that it's an elabailam. That's how halachic thing. But then va'od midrashim habe u'medrash agadav ishes kadosh lo yu mishem akev ma'isros of eina nosnan lo yu ha ma'isros. He's going to get 1/10. So shein sadeh wasa echad me'asar shoyes limud lasos. He's going to lose money. So that's why truma is tied into the same parsha of gezel ager. Why? What does it got to do with Hashem gzelos? Hashem gzelos has nothing to do with truma. But the answer is, if you speak about Hashem Zelus in terms of the halachic structure of bringing the carbon and the chiyuv of Asham and the chomesh, you're right. Truma has nothing to do with it. But over here, what was the purpose of it? Was Musar to teach a person that he shouldn't be greedy. So then truma, that's truma, that a person, where does greed express itself? Most of all, in a person not giving tzedakah. That's the biggest expression of greed. So if a person doesn't give 1/10, if he can't be a no-saint tzedakah, then he's a greedy person. It says, lo yiyu. He eventually will have the misers. And isha sheyiten l'kohen, a person that gives, that is able to give the kohen, lo yiyem momen harbe. Contrary. And he will have a lot of money. So, contrary to the way a person would think. The instinctual greed is telling you that if you give away, you lose. Yada says in the opposite. That, on the contrary, if he gives away, then he'll have lo yiyem momen harbe. He'll be a different kind of a. That's the one time. It's interesting. You're not allowed to do any mitzvah in order. There's only one mitzvah the Gemara says you're allowed to do it. That's by tzedakah. Guy gives a tzedakah on Menashe Yichya Bini is tzedakah gomer. Why? Because it's a pasuk in the Vim. Uvachanuni no bezos imlo eftach lachem aserubos hashamayim v'arkos lachem bracha ad beli dai. Let's think about that one time. I mean, what's the pshat over there, really? What's the pshat? It sounds funny. It sounds funny. I mean, what? You mean I'm going to get stuck, and that's why this is magically going to happen? You have to take a look at the pasuk carefully. See, the pasuk says, "In lo eftach lachem eserubos hashamayim varikosu lachem bracha ad belidai." It means Chazal say, "Ache yilu sifsosechem miloma dai." It means you get tired of saying enough. It means hell yes. It means if a person gives tzedakah, right, if a person gives tzedakah because he's greedy and he wants to get more money because it's a trick, that's not going to help him. That I don't believe is going to help him. What it means like this: what it means if a person has a true value concerning money, like the Rabbeinu Yonah says, what should a person have to be towards money? If the person is very wealthy, so he's allowed to enjoy this world. He can spend it on whatever he wants to enjoy himself. He can spend it. This is one thing. He has to consider himself like a person who's taking care of the treasury of the melech. Says the treasury, like a melech appointed somebody. He says, "You take care of my treasury and take for yourself whatever you need." But he doesn't have the sense of possession that it's his. See, Rabbeinu Yonah says that's the proper attitude a person should have towards wealth. So the pasuk says. What does it mean? It means that the person has to be capable of saying die. The greedy man can't say that. You ever hear a millionaire say die? 10 million, 100 million, billions, 15 billion. There's no end. So it means that there's endless greed. That bracha is not going to work. It means the person gives tzedakah. So that tzedakah should be because he has a recognition of the fact that money has a proper perspective. It's not mine. It's not mine. So if he gives tzedakah that way, then but you have to be able to say die. So if you can't say die, that bracha is not there. So in order to say die, demands that a person is not rooted essentially in greed. Because to say that if a person is rooted in greed and evil, that he's going to do a magical trick and he's going to somehow give a tzedakah and he's going to become a... That doesn't make sense. The pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk says that you have to be able to... You have to be able to say die. I mean, say if you raise, if that's the type of tzedakah a person gives, guaranteed that he'll have, then there's a special hashgacha on that person, that that person will have plenty, he'll have enough to live on, plenty to live on. He'll be able to say have enough. They will say have enough. Yeah, but the Gemara says he doesn't mean it. He doesn't really mean that way, because the Gemara says that goyim do it, and it's a resha. But a Jew doesn't really mean it. I'm not shechem bini, yes, but it doesn't mean to say I don't want the tzedakah to be stuck if it's not. So that's it. What the Torah is doing about the chonuni, what the Navi is saying, what God is doing with chonuni, is giving a person motivation to reach that level. It's giving him a motivation. That's not what Rashi's saying is something different. Rashi's saying the other side of what we're saying. He's not saying Tchilu Mekrei Kodesh. He's saying different. He's saying Mayin Shevez Malos Malchus Shkol Mechalas Amoados Mailin Olov Kiilu Chilas Hashabasos. V'chol Mekayimas Amoados Mailin Olov Kiilu Mekayimas Hashabasos. It means like this. It means to say that if a person doesn't have the aspect of Ashgacha Pratius, he's lacking in Dias Hashem. He's lacking Yedias Hashem also. I want to mention it. Yeah. He's lacking Yedias Hashem as well. Both are true. Both are true. It's not a contradiction. Both are true. The other way is also right. Yeah. The point I wanted to make was, Aaron I asked me a question. See, the bracha of Yevarecha Hashem, Yorad Hashem Panav Lecha, means the way the bracha is pronounced is you should be in a certain position that God relates to you in the way that he gives you Aras Panim. Now it's just like Klal Yisrael, in order to receive the Torah, they had to be in a certain metaphysical state. So the bracha is expressed in that manner. So you should realize that all the brachas stem from one thing. The state that you're in relationship to God. That's why it's, you understand what I mean? That's the point I want to make. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's why the whole bracha is expressed in that vague way. See, it's not like a bracha like you think of. A person wouldn't think of such a thing. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The point is expressed that way because there's a deep concept behind the bracha. The bracha always stands, like the Ram says in the Morning of Vachem. What does the Ram say? He says there are people who, he gives a mushal, like a courtyard, and the palace. He says there are people in the courtyard that are about to go into the palace, and there are people who are outside the courtyard, and there are people whose backs are turned against the courtyard. What is he trying to show you? He's trying to show you that the way a person's good fortune or bad fortune depends upon how he stands in relationship to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, his distance or his closeness. So that's why the Birch Kanim is expressed in that way. Your Hashem Panav Elecha. What does it mean? It means you should be in a certain state that you're close to God, that you could draw from God's Aras Panim. Just like Klal Yisrael was. That'd be a certain state to be able to receive the Torah. So you individually should be in that state as well. You see. It's expressed that way because there's a philosophical idea behind it. It's not just giving you a bracha, giving you this item or that item. It doesn't say any items in the brachas. You see. Okay.